it gets out of ways and means, the speaker has to sign a piece of paper. So she doesn't want to. It won't move either. She literally has to sign a paper for So I already made the request to send it to Ways and Means. I think they'll say yes. Don't delude yourself. Okay. Thinking it'll come out of there any differently. It may not get amended as much there, but it can't come out. Same person has to say yes. Yeah. Okay. Let's open the House Committee on Ag and Natural Resources. Good morning. Today is Thursday, February 18th. We've got a bunch of work sessions. We've got two members who aren't here, so we may have to come back and catch them. But let's start with opening a work session on House Bill 4015. Okay, colleagues, this is the Conservation Recreation Fund, the Dash 2 amendments that we're about to consider. Move it from $13 million down to $40,000. See if it has a better chance in Chair Witt's committee at that amount getting permission to get $40,000 out of Representative Nathanson / Senator Courtney. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 2 amendments.
Vice Chair McLean moves the Dash 2 amendments. Discussion, this is the move it down to $40,000 from $13 million. Any objections? So adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 4015 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Vice Chair Springer moves. House Bill 4015 is amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Yes. Vice Chair McLean. Sorry, I'm used to always have you do the motions, I thought, and then I keep mixing it up.
You fired
I move
me.
For actually, yeah, I'm not sure how. Okay. McLean, Vice Chair McLean moves House Bill 4015 is amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Any discussion? Okay, any objection? Sent to Ways and Means. Let me open a work session on House Bill 4124, Representative Witt's Luba remand process bill. And no amendments. Mm-hmm. Okay. There you go.
Oh, I just got promoted.
You're back.
Chair Klein, I move House Bill 4124 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Springer moves House Bill 4124 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Now, is there somebody that wants to carry this in this committee? Let's see. Oh, Representative Witt, would you like to carry your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, there's our carrier. Okay, let me open a work session on House Bill 4030. We might need a little explanation what happened, because this poaching bill took a variety of amendments to get right. So where are we at on these dash fives?
Chair, members of the committee, the dash fives are a rewording of the previous iterations of the bill. They don't create any substantial change from the base bill that was presented or the dash threes that were presented in the public hearing. It's a rewording that includes language that covers felonies, misdemeanors, and violations appropriately.
Okay, so those are the dash fives.
Chair Klim, I move to adopt the dash five amendments.
Vice Chair McLean moves the dash five amendments. These are the rewording. Any discussion? Any objection? So adopted.
Chair Klim, I move House Bill 4030 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and a substantial referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded.
Okay. Vice Chair McLean moves House Bill 4030 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and the subsequent referral to Joint Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded. Exciting. Any discussion? Any objection? Okay. So adopted. Now we've got an amended bill to move to the floor. Did we adopt? I adopted the amendments already with no script. Gotcha. Okay. So we will ask Representative Helm to carry that. Hold on just 1 second. I got to check on one of our bills coming up. Okay. Let me open a work session on House Bill 49, Representative Wilson's Industrial Hemp Research Program bill. We've got three different amendments. Can you tell us about them, Laura?
Chair, members of the committee, there are three amendments posted on OLIS for consideration. The paperwork's in order for all of them. The dash one amendment removes a reference to research in the pilot program name. It redefines agricultural hemp seed as agricultural seed or flower seed. It corrects a reference to registered rather than licensed growers or handlers, removes the standard identification documentation section, and authorizes ODA to charge fees. The dash two transfers responsibility from the testing laboratory to the registered grower, handler, or processor for entering a hemp or commodity or product into the tracking system before that product is transferred to a laboratory for testing. It requires the Oregon Liquor Control Commission to track the hemp, commodity, or product when it is transferred, sold, or transported to licensed premises. It specifies that a person other than the licensed marijuana processor that may not process cannabinoid extracts into cannabinoid products also cannot then process industrial hemp extracts, etc. And then the dash five specifies that the industrial hemp products that contain more than 0.3% THC may not be sold to a consumer by a person other than a retailer, and requires the Oregon Liquor Control Commission to adopt rules to ensure compliance.
Okay, let's go through them in order. These are all Rep. Wilson amendments, I believe.
They are.
Yeah. Okay.
Chair Klein, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated February 2, 2018.
Vice Chair Springer moves the Dash 1 amendments dated February 2, 2018. Any discussion? Any objection? So adopted.
Chair Klein, I move to adopt the Dash 2 amendments dated February 7th.
Oh, did I say 2?
You said 2.
Oh, sorry. Let me correct. The last one were the ones. The ones. Or, well, you know what? We just adopted the Dash 2, so how about... No, wait.
The motion was for the ones.
I said it wrong. So the ones are what we just adopted. Any problem with that? Okay, sorry. Twos.
So, Chair Klein, I move to adopt the Dash 2 amendments dated February 7th, 2018.
Vice Chair Springer now moves the Dash 2 amendments dated February 7th, 2018. Any discussion? Any objection?
Chair Klein, I move to adopt the Dash 5 amendments dated February 13th, 2018.
Vice Chair Springer moves the Dash 5 amendments dated February 13th, 2018. Any discussion? The one thing I'll comment on, I'm sensitive about the THC level issue. I'm pretty supportive of hemp. I'm not so supportive of marijuana personally, and so I really want to make sure we're always distinguishing between hemp, which is used for many other things, and marijuana. And so it's important to not blur the lines through the THC thing and get them anywhere near each other, in Oregon at least. You know, I know people can do whatever they want trying to figure out how to make them differently, but we shouldn't do it. So this clarifies, to some extent at least, that the THC content needs to stay down so it's just used for its industrial and other purposes.
I need to make a comment.
Vice Chair McLean.
There are some hemp growers out our way, and they came to me about this issue. They've gotten to the point where they're actually extracting all of the THC out of the hemp. But there are some issues that we may be causing for the future, and I think we're going to have to deal with it. And that is that basically they're keeping it very low, and they can have a low amount in there. And these extracts there is a market for them. But they don't want to deal with all these rules that we're now adding another one to. So they have actually built a lab where they're taking it out.
Interesting.
And so, you know, it's going to cause some things, I think, in the future. But this is coming pretty late, and I just want to put that on the record that we need to make sure that we're not doing something that's actually going to cause that industry to have some problems with as many different products as they can, you know, legally and specifically have a market for the kind of hemp that they're growing. They also want to have different types of hemp for, you know, different types of products. And because of that, they end up sometimes, I guess, with THC that's at different levels. And so this group is, you know, willing to do that, but it's at a cost.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Okay. Any further discussion on the fives? Any objections? Okay, so adopted.
Chair Klein, I move House Bill 4089 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Vice Chair Springer moves. House Bill 49 is amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. The bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Any discussion? Any objection? Sent to Ways and Means.
So why don't we, at the end, I'll open it up and do those.
Yep. Okay. Let me open work session. House Bill 4106, Representative Barreto's bill. This is the base bill. And the this goes to Ways and Means after here. So a motion, yes.
Okay. Chair Clem, I move House Bill 4106 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Vice Chair McLean moves House Bill 4106 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. The bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Any discussion? Representative Barreto and Salinas.
Mr. Chair, thank you for keeping this bill alive and sending it to Ways and Means. I do think it's an issue that we do need to keep abreast of as the populations increase. And for many of the ranchers, they have not even, you know, some of the information that was given that that the depredations have gone down in the last couple of years. It all depends on what's reported, and a lot of the ranchers aren't even reporting. And even Rod Childers said this is the first year that he's even started to put in for any compensation, just because they're starting to go up. I had a wolf in my pasture yesterday and got a call from ODF&W. You know. So they are increasing. It will continue to be an issue, and thank you for keeping this alive.
Representative Salinas.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you to Representative Barreto for bringing this issue forward. I will need to be a no. I understand that there was some talk and trying to compromise with this bill, but I do hope the advocates will continue to talk to each other as this moves forward.
Representative, Vice Chair McLean.
This issue for me, I voted yes last year or the year before, I can't remember, as we were talking about some of these issues. And I'm going to be consistent with my vote on that because I think there is a wolf plan. I think there are rules on when we give what I call compensation back, you know, to the ranchers that is appropriate. And I think it's important for us to remember that we are coexisting here with folks that have livestock, and that it's important for them. If they don't like the wolf plan, there's also a group where they can talk about it. But this is talking about reimbursement for actual takings of property, and so to me, that's a different issue than the original bill.
Vice Chair McEwen.
Thank you, Chair Clinton.
Not Vice Chair, Representative McEwen.
Thank you.
And mine's on other things.
I just want to clarify that it could be for compensation for a loss, but it could also be for range riders. Is that correct?
It did.
Which is preventing the taking.
That's correct. Yeah. The funding also has a preventative maintenance for non-lethals, which are the range riders.
That's an important point.
It is an important point.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Escobar.
And Mr. Chair, this is nothing new for compensation to people that have damage. We do the same thing with elk and deer in eastern Oregon. We've done it for many, many years, and it's nothing really new and outstanding here. It's just kind of encompassing this back into the fold.
Any further discussion? Okay, would the clerk please call the roll? This is a base bill.
Representative Barreto.
Aye.
Representative Escobar.
Aye.
Representative McEwen.
Aye.
Representative Salinas.
No.
Representative Brock Smith.
Aye.
Representative Witt.
Aye.
Vice Chair McLean.
Aye.
Vice Chair Springer.
Aye.
Chair Clem.
Chair votes aye. The bill is sent to Ways and Means. We open a work session on House Bill 4029. Colleagues, we've got the dash ones here. These take out some of the other river. What was the term that was used? There were some other scenic river areas that were included in the original bill. This amendment deletes.
Yeah. I got the dash one.
Chair, members of the committee, the exact language, I'm not sure if I can reference at the moment, but it was in reference to a additional study of three additional, I have it here, three rivers each biennium for consideration of designation. It could be rivers or river reaches. Yeah.
So this dash one pulls out the other three.
Right.
Okay, so dash ones.
Chair Clem, I move to adopt the dash one amendments.
Vice Chair Springer moves the dash one amendments. This is to remove the other three rivers, the dash ones. Discussion on the dash ones. There are three per biennium. Okay, any objection to the dash ones? Seeing none, so adopted. Okay, as amended.
Chair Clem, I move House Bill 4029 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee
on Ways and Means.
Referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Vice Chair Springer moves House Bill 4029 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Discussion.
This makes it
I have
a Vice Chair McLean.
Well, this bill, you know, I think there's some things here that I just don't, I'd hope we could get a dash two, and I don't think that may have happened or that there were votes for a dash two. And I hate to have a local issue not go back to local folks for decision making. I'm going to vote yes on this bill today, but I do believe that, I hope that we cannot make this a precedence that we're always trying to solve, you know, complaints or conflicts, you know, at home here. And I mean, I just want to be honest. I want the state law to be the state law and local law, and sometimes they cross and they intersect. But this one has, I'm in hopes that this bill will help go forward with some of the important issues for both sides and that they will continue to work together.
Representative Salinas.
I just want to echo Representative McLean's comments.
Dash ones. We just did the dash ones, so the bills with the dash ones. Representative Brock Smith.
Thank you, and I too want to echo Representative McLean's comments. And having the local government background at the county and city level, I understand the complexities of this issue, and I have talked to both sides of the argument. I'm going to be a no this morning for those reasons.
Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this bill is vastly more complicated than what first meets the eye, mm-hmm. or at least the issues lingering in the background. And I'm not even sure that we've given adequate opportunity for some of our state agencies to weigh in on this issue. They may have a differing point of view, and I just want to make it known that Senator Frederick and I are intending to go over to Bend for a site visit to actually try and review some of these mm-hmm. issues, and I sure as hell don't want to be making site visits to every place in the state of Oregon that's got some kind of land use problem. And I want to underscore the earlier statements by so many members of this committee. Don't bring your land use problems here to the state of Oregon to sort them out on a one-off basis. It's inappropriate. And people need to learn how to get along and solve their problems at the local level. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative McEwen.
I'm trying to elevate my status, Chair Clem. Yeah.
It's the orange and black.
Thank you, Chair Clem. This bill, perfect. This bill has been challenging at best, and I agree with everything that has been said that local issues ought to be solved locally. That being said, I'm going to give this a courtesy vote and send it down, and hope that the powers that be at the local level will figure out a way to work together and come together with some resolution to this. I understand what we're trying to do here today. I looked at the dash twos, and I understand we're not going to visit the dash twos, which I'm a little bit disappointed about.
Well, you're welcome to move. You can make the motion. I just don't think they have the votes, but you're welcome to move them anytime you like.
That's okay. I just want to reiterate the same thing everybody else is saying. Local people ought to take care of local issues, and I'm sorry this is before us, and I will support it with a courtesy vote.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Basketball.
Yeah, and I too, as well, came from local government, city government. And it always seems, since I've been in this building, it always seems we end up with one of these or two of these every session. So I'm leaving the legislature this next time, but for you that are staying, get ready for it, because it'll be here.
Okay, let me share my perspective. And my thinking has evolved somewhat over time, too. And I actually wouldn't mind having more discussion on this before, and we've got time. There are certain issues that I think are definitely local issues. I think there are people who say things should be local issues who, if we actually had a vote on a bill, for example, to make the exceptions process a county-only process, no state review, no DLCD, no LCDC oversight, they would object strenuously to that. So I think there's some insincerity occasionally on the argument that things should be local when we still have complete statewide oversight over even the exceptions process. Having said that, I also believe there are some issues that are of statewide significance. The Deschutes River is not owned by Deschutes County. Crater Lake is not owned by that county. These are waters of the state. Mm-hmm. I would not let a county drain Crater Lake for water needs when it's a national monument. I'm not saying this bridge is that issue, but this is a big state, and we all have access to the water. And this is not Bend's. It's not even in the city of Bend, first of all. It is in the county. So Deschutes County could weigh in. They didn't. One commissioner, I think, maybe by proxy did. But not every issue is a local issue, because we all live here. And it is a scenic river designated by the State Parks Department in administrative rule already. So the agency has already weighed in on this. It's by rule prohibited to build a bridge in a scenic waterway currently. This codifies that rule. So if we don't want our agencies involved in this stuff, we should tell them don't get involved in even state scenic waterways, because it is a state scenic waterway, not a Deschutes scenic waterway, not a Bend scenic waterway, a state scenic waterway, and Parks has already ruled on that question. The question is, should Bend Parks and Recs be able to go around by waiting a certain period of time the state administrative rule? If the answer is yes, then let's go to a local system and not have state designations, period. The most appropriate way to do it is have a vote on a statewide area of critical concern if the state's going to actually engage. That's what we did on the Metolius. We went in and said, this is a local issue, but the state, this is such a special place, we're going to come in and make an area and a management plan. We've only done that once in Oregon's history, and that's probably the most appropriate way rather than doing it this way. I would grant that part. But on the other hand, the Deschutes is a special place. Whether it has a bridge over it or not, especially when it's not even in a city, who else would decide? Deschutes County, I guess, theoretically? That's the other option, is Deschutes County decide, since that's whose jurisdiction the land around the river is. But the river is the subject, is a water of the state, and it's subject to DSL and us. So I'm open to being out-debated on this. Actually, I think this is a good conversation to have, but that's why I don't view this as a local issue, because it's a state river.
So can
yeah.
I?
Representative Witt wants to start, but then, yeah.
Mr. Chairman, for the very reason that it's not a local issue, I think that it's local issues that were responsible for bringing this forward. Mm-hmm. I think some folks in the local area decided that what applies to the rest of our state may not apply in Bend, and I'm not sure that that's appropriate.
I hear you. But Vice Chair McLean.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that's why you've got as many yes votes, and even a courtesy yes vote was for everything that you pointed out there. That was the integrated part that I was talking about, and that was the distinction between state and local responsibilities. So maybe some of us were waxing local with our language, but I think we were indicating that we know that there are state responsibilities, there are state significant areas, and there are also times where we come together. Otherwise, we wouldn't have rules that deal with some of our state responsibilities where we are making those types of decisions. But you're right, it's not easy, it's complicated, yeah. And that's why we've seen this bill at least twice in 2 years, right?
Yeah, we did. Last time it was a shorter discussion because it was gotten stuff of one of my water bills, and so we didn't have the hearing that we had before. So it passed 60-0, went over to the Senate, and all the fireworks we got were in the Senate, which is why they ended up passing. Representative Brock Smith.
I really appreciate the conversation, and especially following Representative McLean, because she's so eloquent in discussing these issues. You know, I feel, and coming off your comments, I feel kind of a hypocrite because we passed a carve-out last year for a situation in my district. It's different, much different, of course.
Because LCDC would have had to say yes if you went through the local process. So,
I get it. And I appreciate Representative Salinas trying to come up with a fix here with the amendments. We'll see next year if this comes back, if this doesn't move through the process this year.
Representative Witt.
Mr. Chairman, also to your point earlier, I mean, to underscore the importance of statewide application of rules and policy, there may be other things in play here that we haven't even had time to delve into. It's not only a National Scenic Waterway, but, you know, we have, fishing game management implications here, could be riparian zone management implications here, a whole host of things. And as I say, the deeper I've gotten into this thing, the more complicated it becomes.
Mr. Chair, usually I don't like ways and means monkeying, but in this case, I think it's a good idea for you and Senator Frederick to keep looking at it and see, because this is a short session and it is challenging. So I think if you need to make policy amendments down there, you're not going to offend me. Just maybe let us know what you're up to. But
absolutely will, Mr. Chairman. Be happy to do that.
Any further discussion? One comment I will make, more for the listening audience. So the other day when we closed, after the public hearing was over, after the committee had adjourned, Representative Witt asked me, why can't this just go away? And I made a comment to him in shorthand, and then we had a further longer conversation. And so I talked about it being Representative Wisnett's retirement gift. He never asked me for the bill. This is, for me, it's a joke to one of my colleagues off the mic that some of the newspapers got all excited about, but I don't care. I fought with Representative Wisnett a lot about invading his district in 2009 on this Skyline Forest issue, and I'm more than willing to roll the good representative if need be, but in this case, I agree with the policy implications. There are certain places that need to be protected, and the Parks Department has already seen it in their purview and wise to protect this area, this particular scenic area, and I'm fine codifying their rule. Representative Wisnett has been a great legislator. We fight sometimes, we get along sometimes. I certainly have learned to try and defer to his judgment in his district, but if we don't end up that way, we don't end up that way. I just try to. Just like if we want to go tear down the Peter Courtney Bridge right now, I would hope you listen to me when I say, yeah, don't do that. We love that bridge. Representative Escobar.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I thought that was, you know, we all know you.
Yeah.
So we know you were joking. But the individual that wrote that opinion piece, I guess you'd call it, on that, it was almost beneath contempt. It was uncalled for. It wasn't checked out properly, and I don't know if they even interviewed you about that. So it was from the hip. And the unfortunate thing is that's the way America is. You can have your freedom of speech, but in that particular case, it was horrible.
I didn't take it personally. I feel bad for Representative Wisnett. But if those of you wonder about my sense of humor, can I just show you these orange pants? This is Chinese New Year / Beaver Day. Any further discussion?
I did not get the memo. This was actually an accident.
Okay.
Truly.
We're on the bill. No amendments.
I made this motion. It was not planned.
Motion's been made.
That's the motion.
Clerk will call the roll with those blinding orange pants fresh in her mind.
Representative Barreto.
Aye.
Aye.
Representative McEwen.
Aye, as a courtesy.
Representative Salinas.
Aye.
Representative Brock Smith.
No.
Representative Witt.
Aye.
Vice Chair McLean.
Aye.
Vice Chair Springer.
Aye.
Chair Clem.
Aye. Motion passes. Bill sent to Ways and Means.
Okay, next.
We're going to come back and get Esquivel and McCune here on a couple, but let's just get through the last two. House Bill 4109, let me open a work session. Representative Brock Smith, carbon sequestration. This one has fiscal light for the studies. Also goes to Ways and Means. Let's go back to the other side for a little while. Doesn't need to go to rules. Just goes to Ways and Means.
Chair Clem, I move House Bill 4109 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Okay.
Yeah,
and to the
left,
Joint
sorry.
Committee on Ways. No, what? What is that?
On Ways and Means.
Okay, and to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Yes.
By prior reference.
Yes. Sorry, we had to modify on the fly here.
There's a little modification going
yeah.
on there.
Vice Chair McLean moves House Bill 4109 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And
to the
Joint Committee and Ways and Means by prior reference. Any discussion? Representative Brock Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and colleagues. I just want you to know that I met finally because he's been ill with ODF Director Doherty yesterday. We're going to have, he's going to have some friendly amendments coming that we've discussed that pulls DEQ out of the bill and has ODF work with USFS on the study, as they've done this, they did a recent study in California, the USFS did with the California Department of Forestry. So we'll have those amendments for the Ways and Means sub and Representative Witt, and just wanted to keep you posted.
The one thing I'll just say about this bill, you know, there is a line in there that even I I'm a little nervous about that sort of talks about sequestration. I don't know that it says the word alternative or not, but it talks about versus other forms of considering the effects on carbon. And I think it should, in the end, be all of the above consideration. And given there's already a huge bill on the other topic, it's fine to just have one saying, let's focus on sequestration, because there's plenty of talk about the other one. But I really personally feel that, especially in a national system or a global system, some sort of market-based system, Oregon should end up a massive winner because of all the stuff we do already, either through law or our own ethic, to sink carbon and our geography, that we've got the forests we do. And there should be people from all over the world paying us for essentially following our land use laws and growing trees, because these landowners can't do anything other than grow trees under our land use system anyway. And we're sinking carbon for the whole world here, a lot of it. And I would like an income stream for our growers for the sort of ecosystem benefits that they provide, because forestry is a great way to make a living. It's a great business. It also is great for the environment. It's you know, our heritage, and I believe there is a way at some point to have its rightful place as and a great carbon sink actually benefited without hurting the industry. That's going to take time to develop. So I appreciate you bringing this forward, so it's not just a one view that, hey, we hate carbon, but well, what about ag and forestry? What do they do to help with this issue? Go back to Brock Smith, then I'll come around. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate your comments, and I agree with you. And that's really the concept that we're discussing in this piece of legislation. And, you know, DEQ, we discussed recently in my office that they don't have this data. And it's you know, so when we're talking about that other big piece of legislation, this really is not part of that conversation. And so that's kind of why it's the one-off, because we need this data in order to have the overall holistic view on the carbon sink, the sequestration, the emissions, the effects. And so I appreciate the comments and moving this forward so that we all know what exactly the impact is across our state.
Vice Chair McLean.
Well, I'm voting yes on this because I see it, and we've talked about it, that this is another tool, and I think that's what you just said. This is another tool for another important part of what we're facing here in Oregon. And you can't have lived in Oregon in the last 5 or 6 years and not understand that this is also something that's very important. And as you pointed out the other day, we've spent half of this committee's interim time talking about, you know, the forest fires. And so we want to try and get to the point where we're actually managing them and spending the money on management so we can have some of these other benefits that we all care about. So I think whether this is a perfect bill, I don't think any bill is perfect, and I think it's important for us to continue to make sure that we're researching on all fronts and that we're using all tools and that we're remembering what the goal is. And that's for our children and our grandchildren and everybody else after that, to have some clean air, some fresh water, and to be able to enjoy the kind of place that we've lived in all of our lives.
Representative Salinas.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to Representative Rocksmith for bringing this forward. So first of all, just a quick question and clarification for removing DEQ from in the friendly amendment. What was the rationale behind that?
Again, U.S. Forest Service is conducting these studies in California, and the suggestion for the friendly amendment came from the ODF and director so that they can move forward with the USFS study. It also lessens the fiscal. I'm not saying that DEQ is not going to be consulted by any means, but they having three agencies work with the USFS rather than the direct agency with forestry is why.
Thank you. And then just a quick comment, because this issue has come up a couple of times in the House Committee on Healthcare, and it's not an either or, you know, either carbon monoxide or carbon dioxide or diesel air pollutants or point source pollution. It's and. So we do want to get at all of this. So yeah, for those who keep thinking that it's an either or, we do have to take the whole state and the health of our population into consideration. So thank you.
Thank you.
Further conversation on carbon sequestration. Okay. Seeing none, this bill is no amendments here. Motion is to go to Ways and Means. Any objection to that motion? Go to Ways and Means. Do pass recommendation, go to Ways and Means. No objections? Sent to Ways and Means. Let me open a work session, House Bill 4118, Good Neighbor Authority Agreement. We've got some dash sixes. Representative Bonham, do you want to come up for a second? Let's talk about where we're at. We just didn't have time to get everything quite finished. We're close, but we're not exactly there. The dash sixes changed the bill. There's one line that I know I weighed in on. It's line 8 on page 2. Before it said maximize financial return to Oregon. One thing about the Good Neighbor projects is if they actually brought revenue back to a government, it would be the federal government. And so we didn't want to specifically say, let's try and get money back for the federal government, because the point for me at least is forest health. And secondly, it's economic benefit to the people of Oregon, meaning the people who work in the mills, the people who do the forest health jobs. It's not about which government agency gets money, either state or federal. So this amendment changes from maximizing financial benefit to Oregon to maximize economic benefit to the state, so it could include mill jobs and forest restoration jobs and payroll, and not just about, you know, which level of government gets some money out of this thing. And then remind me where else we left off, Representative. And you have to say your name again for the record. Sorry.
For the record, Daniel Bonham, House District 59. Yeah, I think that was really the only thing we had left. We were discussing the language versus something to say the future projects under the Good Neighbor Authority to maximizing benefit to the state. But the whole idea and concept is what you just outlined, is that it doesn't go away, or it doesn't go to a different fund source within the state, that it stays in timber and in this industry and in this sector. So,
and future projects to keep doing these. Vice Chair Springer, did you raise your hand?
No, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I saw you. Representative Brock Smith.
Thank you, and I appreciate my colleague bringing this bill forward, and I was proud to sign on to the bill. Having, you know, worked and dealt with this for many, many years as a, you know, in my former life, the one of the things about the maximize and the resources, you know, so the it does, the dollars do go to the federal government, but when it comes to USFS lands, those dollars with the partnership and the percentages come back to county road funds, a portion thereof. And when it comes to BLM lands, those dollars or a portion thereof come back to county general funds to provide services to residents. And then when also, when you're doing this, of course, you're dealing with a lot of the urban wildland interface, which protects homes from wildfire and preparation. And there is some stewardship contracting that is involved with this that doesn't have those dollars go into that big, you know, federal pot, but keeps those dollars local so that those jobs are created, but those dollars can go on projects on the ground and have immediate economic impact to the local community. So I appreciate the work that's been done by Representative Bonham through this process. I believe that we have a great amendment in the dash sixes in moving forward with this piece of legislation. And also thank you, Mr. Chair, for working and helping the both of us in crafting something that is...
Yeah, no, I would like to thank Chair Clem as well, and not just for the work that's been done, but for the work that he will continue to do to help us through the next phase of the process.
No thanks necessary. Today,
I would like to get a photo with you for my Snapchat story, because those pants are glorious.
Chinese New Year slash Beaver
Day.
You
may be the only one that are enjoying them, though.
You want him to wear sunglasses.
Indiana quite look.
Yeah, with the sunglasses.
Okay. Dash sixes.
Chair Clem, I move to adopt the dash six amendments.
Vice Chair Springer moves the dash six amendments. Any further discussion? Any objection? Dash six is adopted.
Chair Clem, I move House Bill 4118 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the subsequent referral to the Joint Committee on Legislative Audits be rescinded, and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
I should have mentioned, yeah, we also took out, we reworked the whole bill, but we took out the audit piece. Vice Chair Springer moves the dash. No. Moves House Bill 4118 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendations that the subsequent referral to the Joint Committee on Legislative Audits be rescinded and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Any discussion?
I've got a little bit.
Vice Chair McLean.
I was looking forward to seeing this bill, and it honestly is one of the first House bills that we've actually had coming to the Audit Committee.
Oh.
And we really wouldn't have done anything to it. What we were trying to do with the Audit Committee, it's a statutory committee, and I haven't seen that they've actually done the work of reviewing anything that was close to being an audit that we were suggesting. And so we're learning how to prioritize audits, because audits do cost money, and we're also learning that it's important for us to connect ourselves with the Secretary of State so that we can see what he's auditing or she's auditing, so that we're making sure, again, we're not double dipping on audits in any way, shape, or form. And so even though it's not coming to the committee, Co-Chair Johnson and I want you to know that we were looking forward to it, and we hope that if you have another audit on a bill that you'll consider, you know, having it come our way too. We know the Speaker has to do that. But we really are trying to do some good work over there for transparency and efficiency of government.
I was once on an audits committee, and we weren't allowed to do audits, and we weren't allowed to have bills. So it was really a interesting what? Exercise in time usage for some of us. So at least you can get bills theoretically. We're just taking your one away from you. I'm
well,
so sorry.
Well, I know we can. It's in writing.
Yeah, so. Yeah. No, that's an enhancement from where we once were. Okay, further discussion. The only thing I'll comment is many, many of us would love to be able to figure out, you know, how to acquire or do something to have better... better management of federal forest lands, but given it either is going to cost a lot of money to try and buy federal forest lands, I don't think they're just going to be transferred for free. So the best that we can do, I think, is be good neighbors, and that's this process, and given our state is so heavily federal, and it's so painful to drive past federal lands that have already burned or are really diseased and think, boy, I wish they had the money or they had the will or they had whatever to do it. So it's such a big deal in our economy and in our communities that that's our neighbor, and to the extent we can do things at the state level to help deal with federal lands, because this is a 40-year real challenge for most of Oregon's geography, and this is the path right now that seems the best one to try and make a difference for our community. So thanks to you for bringing the bill as your first bill. It's a good first bill. My first bill was, it was misreported, but it had to do with dogs being able to eat in come in restaurants. And my dad will still not talk to me about my legislative career over it, so this was a wiser choice. It was just restaurants that wanted to let dogs in. It was not any restaurant, but it got reported as any restaurant you could take your dog in. I don't know how people could think I would do something like that. Okay, having said that, any further discussion? Let's ask for any objections on House Bill 4118. Seeing none, bill goes to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Okay, so, now we need to come back.
Yeah.
I've forgotten about
that. Is there a motion to suspend the rules for the purposes of allowing Representative McEwen Esquivel to vote on three bills, 4015, 4124, and 4030?
Mr. Chair, I move that we suspend the rules so Representatives McEwen and Esquivel can vote on House Bill 4015, House Bill 4124, and House Bill 4030.
Vice Chair Springer requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended to allow votes to be recorded on House Bills 4015, 4124, and 4030 for Representative McEwen and Esquivel. Any objections? If not, so ordered. 4015. Representative McEwen, how do you vote?
Aye.
Representative Esquivel, how do you
aye.
Vote? Great. 4124.
Aye.
And Esquivel.
Aye.
And 4030.
Aye.
And Esquivel.
Aye.
Okay. Committee members, that is our House short session. Relatively under the theory that the annual sessions were here for, I think. Some technical error, some other things. We don't have any Senate bills yet. We may end up with two. So what I'm going to do is start us a little late next week, talk about sea lions and all the salmon they gorge on, and we're going to talk about marbled murrelet.
Pinnipeds.
Good. Yeah, but we'll start a little bit later so you don't have to be in here at 8 and look at my orange pants.
Marbled murrelet.
Amen.
Devastating.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah.
With that, we will adjourn our House period of this committee, and we'll be back next week for Senate bills and informational hearings. Thank you. Did I forget anything? No carryovers. Got everything.